Unfiltered, the official Sunderland AFC podcast.
Welcome to another SAFC Unfiltered podcast brought to you by Alpha Security. Today, I'm heading up to the Academy of Light. We're going to be speaking to Christian Speakman. And joining us via satellite link-up, because of COVID restrictions, is, of course, Danny Collins. How are you doing, Danny?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, Frankie. Thanks very much.
We haven't done one of these in a little while because of, well, there was the whole COVID thing, wasn't there, throughout the squad, and we weren't allowed anywhere near any of them. And then there was some injuries to some players we had lined up. And then, of course, we've been playing about what feels like two or three games a week for the last couple of months. And, of course, as well, we had the transfer window as well. So we've had a bit of a break, but not for the want of trying.
Yeah, no, it's good to get back. As you say, it's been a while since, I think Lee Johnson was the last one we spoke to, wasn't it? A few weeks back after he'd just come into the job. So, yeah, it's good to get back in touch today and have a catch up and see how we go.
Just touching upon that transfer window we had, Danny, how did you think we got on with the ins and outs?
Yeah, I think they'll have set their targets before the window opened, you know, with Christian coming in and Lee Johnson alongside him, working together, assessing the squad, obviously watching videos before of the previous games, and pinpointing where they thought we needed to strengthen, whether it be to injuries or just in general trying to develop us in terms of the way Lee Johnson wants to play, the formation, the system. So the four that we've brought in, yeah, left back, Vokin's coming in from Southampton. It's good that we have brought him in the fact that Denver's still out for a while. It looks like Callum McFadden might have picked up a little injury on Tuesday night, so he'll more than likely start at the weekend. And Carl Winchester came in earlier in the window. Jordan Jones got 60 minutes on Tuesday. And Ross Stewart coming in as well, giving us another option up top. So, yeah, it's good to get the bodies in. A couple of outgoings as well. So with a good amount of games left in the season, let's hope we can kick on now and they can bring something to the party.
Yeah, and I guess the idea of catching up with Christian today was because he's already featured on the podcast before, so I don't think you're going to get the quiz him at the end, Danny. But I guess one of the reasons is because he did speak about that transparency and that kind of explaining of where they're going with the club. And I guess after a transfer window, that's a good point to catch up.
Yes, it is, of course. I mean, he spoke in terms of trying to bring some of the young lads into the first team setup as well, which we have seen. Again, on Tuesday night, there was one or two. Oliver Younger coming in. Dan Neal had a good run out. You know, Jack Diamond's progressing as well. So it's good that we've got that blend coming into the first team alongside some of these experienced lads. And it'll be good to speak to Christian just to see where we're at in terms of the window with it closing, and then where we're obviously looking at moving forward with the amount of lads we've got out of contract coming up in the summer. So it's an interesting time coming up. A lot of hard work to go in terms of behind the scenes and obviously on the pitch as well.
Yeah, okay then. Let's go in. I'm going to go inside. You can just sit where you are because you're joining us on a video link. But let's go and meet Christian Speakman again. Welcome back to SAFC Unfiltered, Sporting Director at Sunderland Football Club, Christian Speakman. How are you doing, Christian?
Really good, thanks, guys.
You've been in the role now for a couple of months. How are you settling in?
No, settling in really, really well. Obviously, a challenging period to have a transition mid-season and obviously just before the transfer window. But I think all things taken into consideration, everyone's been really welcoming. It's obviously a fantastic football club to work for, and it's got, as I anticipated before I came, so much potential.
And how soon after coming in did you identify things that you wanted to change within the workings of the club, and have you done any of that?
Yeah, I think that you're going to have a plan and a strategy, but I think it's always a case of trying to align that strategy to the context of the business. I think it's a very naive approach to suggest that, you know, you think from an external information, speaking to people, part of obviously the process of coming to the football club, that things are made, you know, you're made aware or you make yourself aware of certain things. But I think you have to see it for yourself and then you have to align it. I don't think you can come in blasé, copying and pasting something from outside in. So I think, first of all, taking some time to speak with individuals within the company, or within the football side or the business side, to get an understanding of what it is. And then from there, you can then start to implement some change where change is required. Certainly in the sort of initial stages of that, like you said, with so much sort of day-to-day business as usual matters to get on with. It's obviously been more difficult to do some of the wider strategic planning.
So with that in mind then, was there things that you immediately wanted to address? Have you unearthed things that perhaps practices and systems that were in place here that you have immediately said, right, we're not doing that anymore?
Yeah, I think there's some things there that as a principle around how you either develop or recruit players that you want to try to work to, that I'm sure it's difficult to say this has been a change and that's been a change, because I'm still getting to grips with how it actually worked beforehand. You know, we've got some staff that have been on furlough that we might have got back from furlough. You're trying to learn and accelerate your learning as quick as you can. I mean, I think I've been in 9 weeks. I still think that's quite a short space of time to be able to get a fuller sort of appraisal of what the situation is.
Yeah, would there be an ideal time to start a job like this? Would it be like a normally if you were brought in at the end of a season, so you could have a summer of, you know, finding your way around the building and finding what people's roles are, you know, and then growing into the role?
Yeah, I think obviously people always look to summer. I think the difficult thing with summer is it's not necessarily a real life picture. You know, A, you've got the games program doesn't run for any of the age groups, inclusive of the senior team. People are off on holiday doing different things. Pre-season's a very different dynamic to what in-season. So I think it's pros and cons. It's seeing it in the moment as it happens, you know, but then also trying to also work towards the summer as a period of being able to, you know, review and reflect. And obviously depending on where the football club sees itself in terms of divisional status, then making the appropriate changes, which ultimately always come back to the financial context, you know. So one of the big picture things that we're working on at the minute is trying to set out what that budget looks like for the football department for 21-22, depending on obviously maybe a plan A of the Championship and a plan B, unfortunately, of staying in League One.
Yes, we'll get round to that. But in your time, in your few weeks that you said you've been here, have you been surprised by anything you've found in a positive way? Have you been surprised by perhaps some talent you've found throughout the youth academy or the strength of the staff around the place?
I don't think I'm necessarily surprised. I tried to do, like, you know, a certain amount of due diligence when you come to a football club. I think everything that I've experienced here so far has been really, really positive, whether that's from, you know, understanding the supporter needs and the supporter wants around what their expectations are from the football club, to the staffing, to the players. I just see everyone geared to wanting to see this club being successful. I think the most interesting piece of that is unpicking the reasons and the rationale why it's not been successful and obviously finds itself in the current predicament, I suppose, for this size of club, and then trying to make those tweaks to move us forward. Like I said, and I think the first time I spoke to you guys, it won't be a quick process. I don't want to say it's going to be a slow process, but it won't be a quick process. But I can rest, you know, make the supporters assured that from behind the scenes, we're doing everything we possibly can in the quickest, you know, time period to put ourselves in the best position.
What about relationships within the football club for yourself, your role? Have you been working a lot with first team coach Lee Johnson, like I said, Jim Rodwell as well? How integral are those relationships?
Oh, they're the most integral, because ultimately, in terms of your prioritisation of what we're trying to do, certainly looking at the philosophy of the football club from a football technical perspective has been really, really important. As I intimated the first time we spoke, one of the reasons that we selected Lee was because we felt he was the closest fit to what we wanted the club to be. And I think you're starting to see, over a really short period, a change in the team's dynamics and style of play. I think that's fairly evident on the pitch. The statistics certainly back that up. So that's the first port of call, because I think making sure that the first team is fit for purpose in terms of what we're trying to achieve, which is obviously this season promotion, a lot of that has been around trying to find players within the transfer window that we felt could assist with that short-term goal, whilst also trying to underpin sort of medium to long-term aspirations.
You mentioned the transfer window there. I know myself and Danny wanted to touch on a few things around the transfer window. It's your first opportunity, I guess, to try and stamp some kind of identity, I guess, on your plans, which you've just touched on there. You brought in Winchester, Vaughan, Stewart and Jones. How soon did you identify that those players were suitable for Sunderland and that we were needed in those areas?
I think that the bit around assessing the squad and making some choices on what we need, that's been a bit of an ongoing process, because, again, we'd have only been here maybe 4 weeks before the window opened, of which we lost 3 games to the COVID issue that we had. So from that perspective, that was, again, far from ideal. We've obviously watched the videos before we got here of the games. I think you want to try to judge the players in the context of the systems and the formations and the principles that we're trying to work on now, rather than the previous coach, because I think that's just, it's unfair to make a judgment when the players are asked to do something different, maybe. So from that perspective, so it's been an ongoing process all the way through the window. I think, you know, certainly going into the first week, we had a really, really clear idea about what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
But we've also been diligent enough to keep reviewing and reflecting on that as we've gone, because we've picked up more information, we've spent more time with the players, we've seen more training sessions, we've had more games, which is ultimately why you saw us sort of, I suppose, spark into life towards the back end, because that's where I think we felt we had enough information to make the decisions. And without leaving ourselves too short on time, where we're scrambling around on deadline day trying to make signatures, which I don't think is necessarily always the best way of approaching it.
Last time we spoke as well, Christian, you spoke about looking at the statistics and looking at perhaps maybe a different method of recruitment, which a football club has never really committed themselves down. Was that part of the process of the recruitment this time?
Yes, certainly. I think having an evidence-based approach is going to be fundamental here moving forward. I know, obviously, a huge part of that is data. I think we have to understand where the data can add value to the process, but also understand, you know, the importance of viewing those players with the eye. And I think, obviously, the difficult thing at the minute is you can't get to the games. So probably relying on the data, definitely. Relying on opinion and probably getting some feedback from people that have worked with those players or in those leagues that we made selections from, you know, to try to build up the picture and cross-reference all that information.
Yeah, Christian, I think obviously it was something we spoke about last time in terms of how would it work working alongside Lee Johnson. And I guess you mentioned there that you've looked at previous games before he's come in and identified early. I think the thought from the Sunderland fans perhaps in the recent years is that we've maybe, not panic signings, but in terms of in transfer windows, have we just brought players in hoping that they can do a job? Now, I think the process you're on about there is you're identifying the positions in the pitch and obviously the system or the formations that Lee Johnson's looking to play in moving us forward as a team. The players he's bringing in now are key in coming into the environment in the club, which the direction he's trying to move us forward in, I guess, yeah?
Yeah, 100%. I think the first thing with regard to the player recruitment is, can they execute and align with the principles of play that we're trying to put in place? The second layer of that is, what are the team formations that the coach is going to use? And then can the players tick both of those criteria? You know, if you look at our squad at the minute, we're operating with a squad of, depending if you include the goalkeepers, 22, which we wanted to have a lean squad. You know, it could be said, well, you know, you've left yourself short in certain areas, which I disagree with from our perspective, because all the players that are involved in that squad are within touching distance of getting in a starting 11. I think you can see from Tuesday night's performance, you're going to need a squad, especially over the second half of the season, where the game load becomes an accumulation effect. So again, therefore, you have got certain additional risks with injury, etc. And we've got three, if not four, players for every position. Now, that doesn't mean it's three or four different players, but what it means is that for each of the positions within each of the team shapes that we're going to use, there's at least three players or four players that can play that position. So I think that's going to make for a more harmonious squad. I think you can then start looking at getting greater team spirit and a greater sort of buy-in, because you're not going to have as many players that are going to find themselves outside the 18 or 19 on a Saturday. I think the other important factor with that is that we want to also leave space for the young players to come in. So we've got Benji coming back in the next 3 to 4 weeks. You've got other players that have been doing well in the 23s programme. If all of a sudden, you know, you've got a slightly inflated first team squad, where do those boys get the opportunities to train? Because it's very difficult. So they've got, they are also within touching distance of the first team squad.
So it has to be quite fluid between the squads then.
Yeah, I think we just want to make sure that there's enough space there for those guys, young guys, to be able to come and get training minutes with the first team group as well. And ultimately, if we had an injury issue or, you know, somebody's not performing, then we've got to look for those younger ones to step up and perform. I think, you know, we can't have your cake and eat it. You can't have, you know, a squad of 30 all senior players that all play and all the young players to get integrated. It just doesn't work. So you've got to try to make the best judgment call on what that squad composition looks like, who's in which position, and then if certain scenarios appear, who's going to play in what position. And you know, that's obviously the judgment call which people will make, will review and reflect on and think you've done a good job or a bad job. But there's certainly some real thought gone into it behind the scenes, and hopefully, you know, you put your trust in the process and the expertise to be hopefully then come out with the right answer.
Yeah, I think after the game on Tuesday, we spoke about it, didn't we, Frankie? And just looking at the squad as a whole, and I said we've got good competition and cover throughout the squad, really, in all positions. I mean, obviously at left back at the minute, you've got Denver Hume out, Callum McFadden looked like he picked up a knock, but then we've got Jake Vokins, who's ready to come in now. Good competition, and some of the young lads who got a chance as well on Tuesday. Dan Neal came in. Jack Diamond's getting a little run in the team as well, isn't he? Oliver Younger coming off the bench. So it's good to see the young lads as well coming into the side. Lee Johnson giving these boys a chance. And I think as well, in terms of just on the training pitch as well, you want that competition from the players. What the manager gets to see that chance, and when you've got that competition, they're pushing each other for the starting 11 on a Saturday afternoon, aren't they?
Yeah, I think there's a real competition in the group now, and I think the players understand that. And I think for a team that wants to be successful and be in the top two, you're going to need that. That's a prerequisite of a team that's going to do well. But I think it's also a realistic challenge for all the players. I think, you know, everyone will, and supporters will, you know, will have their favourite players or the players they think should or shouldn't play. Ultimately, every single player within our squad has the opportunity to be in the starting 11, and it's their ability to perform most of all, then obviously then demonstrate within the training that they're competent to undertake the task that Lee sets out for them in any particular game. And I think ultimately it gives Lee the flexibility to play a couple of different shapes within the same principle. And like I said, everybody wants to feel as an opportunity. So the senior players feel there's an opportunity to get in the team. The younger players feel there's an opportunity to get across and train with the first team squad. And the ones that are a little bit closer feel there's an opportunity to get into the squad and hopefully get minutes. And that's almost the perfect mix. And obviously it's very, very difficult to try to execute that, but that's the objective.
Have you been happy with the younger players who have came through in your short tenure to the first team? Because we've seen quite a few, haven't we?
Yeah, I think all those younger players have done really, really well. I think, you know, look at Dan on Tuesday night, to come off the bench early in the game and perform as well as he did. You know, I think Dan is a really, really exciting prospect for the football club. And I think it's really going to be important for us to be able to manage that.
In terms of Dan Christian there, was looking at the bodies we've got in midfield, I know, you know, Grant Ledbetter, Josh going, obviously George Dobson's gone out on loan himself. With Dan, was it a case of you wanted to keep him around because I know he's playing in the Papa John's, but he's obviously been limited in his chances in terms of first team games in the league. Was it perhaps something you looked at in terms of getting him out to maybe get him some first time, like Elliot Embleton has done now, whether he's limited in terms of the game opportunity he's going to get at the club, to go out and maybe try and get 15, 20 games elsewhere before the end of the season? Or are you happy for Dan to stay around it and to be pushing these lads to try and get himself into the team?
Yeah, definitely. I think for Dan, Dan's got a little bit more time on his side for where his age at is at the minute than Elliot. I think they're two different situations, and we can talk about both of those young guys. I think with Dan, is he had the injury from the last Papa John's Trophy game.
Yeah, Port Vale. Though.
Yeah, which is obviously, we've had to look at that one a little bit later in the window in terms of what's the best course of action. Dan's going to be an integral part of this football club for the short, medium and long term. I think that's really going to be really, really important. So it's trying to make sure that we can map out and plan his best route. At the minute, he's obviously played in that game. He'll obviously be available for the other games. And I think he's a young player who's pushing the other players to be able to get in there. So let's not rule out Dan Neal playing more league games to start off with. And that's up to Dan Neal to be able to prove to the coach that he's above one or two of those other players that you spoke about. And that goes back to that healthy competition point. I think what with Dan, we can assess it. And me and Lee have spoken as well about this opportunity where they can go out and play in the conference, which I don't think is necessarily Dan's level. I think Dan's obviously above that level. But what it does do is it gets the opportunity to go and get some minutes in some competitive football. And I think that's just us using the system to our advantage. You know, he could easily go out into League Two. We had lots of people that were really, really keen on taking Dan Neal on loan. But it's also making sure we make the right judgment call for him. And we felt at the minute it was important for us to keep him around the squad. I think that's vindicated by how well he did on Tuesday. It shows how close he is to the first team group. And hopefully, you know, he can spend some more time in and around the squad. And if not, then we can look at the other options that are available to us. You know, I don't think, you know, people should look at, well, you're going to, you know, you could loan him to the conference as a negative. I think as long as it's part of the plan and we understand why we're doing it and what the advantages are, then I think it's a positive. With regard to Elliot, I mean, Elliot's probably the one that everyone will look at and go, oh, really not sure why you've done that. You know, if you look at Elliot at the present time, he's only played 650 minutes this season in senior football across the league and the cup competitions. He had a great loan previously in League 2 where he did really, really well. He's been out injured. He had the COVID issue, obviously, where he's missed opportunities to play games. And Elliot could have stayed and could have played more games and more starts with us. But then would that have been enough for where his profile is at the minute in his development? And I think it's a great thing for Elliot that another League One club wants to take him. You know, there's clubs there that really were interested in him. We just felt that that Blackpool with Neil, who understands young players, was the perfect sort of perfect situation to replicate what we're doing here, if you like, but hopefully with more minutes. And I say hopefully because he has to earn those minutes at Blackpool. It's not like, you know, it's a gimme. But we just felt that if we got to the end of the season, he will have played more minutes there than he would offer us, and therefore that would have been the best outcome.
Yeah, I suppose that's key as well, isn't it? As you say, they're touching on the way Blackpool perhaps play now, rather than just saying a club have come in for you, do you want to go there, for instance? No, like Gillingham last week, they play a different style of football. Obviously, they go a bit more direct. If Elliot goes to a Gillingham, say, he's going to spend 80 minutes of the game watching the ball sail over his head in the middle of the park. So is that something you look at as well in terms of the way the clubs who want to take the players, do they play a similar type of football that we're looking to play as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think you want to try to get as much repetition and frequency of the same types of things and the same situations in the games that you're going to receive here at Sunderland. I think it goes, I think the players will always have an awareness of what the loan option team can provide in terms of game style. And they're normally quite cute in terms of, well, I don't want to go there. And I think sometimes that shows a real intelligence by the player as well to understand what those the pros and cons of those opportunities. You know, I think there's probably been times that this football club and other football clubs where, you know, you just take a loan. And I know sometimes people say, you know, you can't have a bad loan. I disagree with that. I think you can. And I think for Elliot at the minute, it's a really, really important part of his development to be able to go out, integrate with a new squad, and then go and perform. And if he does that, he's going to put himself in a fantastic place to come back here next summer for Sunderland for 21-22.
How much of a headache was the wage cap? Was it a constant...
Huge headache.
Yeah, was it a constant barrier in terms of bringing players in? Of course, the players have gone out as well. One of them's just announced his retirement, Danny Graham. And Sunderland's marquee signing down at this level was Will Grigg. And he's gone out on loan as well. Was that all ins and outs involved in wage cap, you know, restrictions as well? And was that part of the process?
Yeah, certainly. The wage cap's always going to have an influence on the decisions and the way that you go about it. What I'll say is that what we've tried to do with all those ins and all those outs is make the right decision for the football club in the short term and the medium term. And depending on which player that is, it will obviously affect more the short or more the medium term. I think it's a difficult thing to grasp from a supporter's perspective when you don't have all the information available to you in terms of the salary cap. But the salary cap is obviously very limiting for a club like Sunderland. And therefore, it affects the types of transfers you can make. It goes without saying, you know, that obviously the higher the transfer fee for a player, which maybe a Sunderland now in the future could make, the increase, obviously, the players' expectations around salary. I think those things are fairly, you know, fairly aligned, and I think people understand that. So therefore, you could be a football club that, say, hypothetically, you could go out and spend £2 million on a sign-in, but then you can't pay the salary. And even if the football club could afford to pay the salary cap's going to restrict you from paying that salary. So it's a huge hindrance for that type of model and that type of acquisition, and those type of acquisitions. So what we've got to try to do is use the money that's available in the cap in the best possible way. And that means we're going to have to be smarter and more diligent around the signings that we make. And I think a Ross Stewart is a good example of that, whereby you're identifying somebody more so in terms of fitting the salary cap model than you are necessarily the transfer fee. And you're trying to use all the information we spoke about before to make the right decision on someone that we think is on the up and coming. You know, so I think for the deal for Ross Stewart, I think is a very good deal for Sunderland. I think it speaks volumes for Sunderland as a football club that we were able to get Ross Stewart, because there were clubs who would pay more and were in a higher league that were looking to get Ross Stewart. And he chose to come here because he felt the project here was aligned to what he wanted to do. And I think that's what we have to do. We have to leverage Sunderland in all these factors to come and play at Stadium Alight, to come and train at the Academy Alight. Wow, you know, I would be, you know, that has got to have a value within a transaction. And I think we have to place more emphasis on that.
I know, it's obviously some of the supporters will recognise that, you know, they go to the home game, well, they did go to the home games and see the fan base, and they're well aware of the surroundings here at the Academy of Light. It surely has to be a pull. Danny, you wanted to make a point on transfers, just in the medium term, if you like, looking towards the end of the season, Danny.
Yeah, I just had a look, obviously, last night, going over the current squad and where we're at, and I think we've got, going past the end of this season, I think we've got 11 players, if you include Elliot, who you've obviously just given another a year to as well. So I think we've got 11 players contracted past the end of this season. So that's 19, 20 players out of contract, if you include in some of the younger lads, say Mitch Curry, one or two of the others, you know, Anthony Patterson, these lads are out of contract as well. How difficult is that going to be, Christian, in terms of assessing it? Is it a case of seeing where we're at towards the end of the season in terms of the league situation? You know, we're still not a million miles away off, well, say the playoffs. We're in the playoffs, aren't we? So we've got a long way to go in the league. Is it going to be a tricky one for you in terms of offering the lads contracts, whether you think they're going to be good enough to take us forward if we go up into the Championship, and whether we're going to stay in League One if they're good enough to push us again next season? How does that come into play?
We've already got two sort of squad composition templates, if you like. We've got a Championship and we've got a League One. And I think if you were in my position and you weren't already thinking about that, you'd be remiss of you not to be doing that. I think the process moving forward is to evaluate all those players that are out of contract against both scenarios, and then almost have those ready to go, and then, like you said, review and evaluate as we go through the next sort of 15 games. Some are going to be easier decisions than others because of maybe the age of the player, the contract value, where they sit, maybe inside or outside the salary cap. And it's just going to be a case of working through them one by one. I think for the senior group, they're quite used to receiving that information fairly late in the season. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be making those decisions late in the season. But I think we've got to give those guys every opportunity to keep impressing and align themselves with obviously the direction at least taking the group. And then we have to make the appropriate decisions. And I think there'll be some tough decisions in there because, like you said, we're moving through this transition from our old way of working outside the salary cap to working inside the salary cap. I think a lot of the players and their representatives know that as well. I think, you know, you've got a lot of players here on that sort of transitional basis where they're earning above the cap. And therefore, obviously, when they come out of contract, they're going to have to fall under the cap if they're in this league. You know, I think that will be the tricky bit. We will try to get as ahead of the game as possible and all that.
I'm going to say as well, I mean, I've been in that situation myself where you're coming towards, you know, you're in the last 6 months of your contract, and some, I'm just looking through the players who are out of contract. A lot of these lads are currently regulars. You know, you've Max Powers, Aidan McGeady, Josh Scowen, Lee Bird, Charlie Wyke. We've got a lot of lads who are on the team sheet week in, week out. And for these lads as well, Jordan Willis as well, for example, and surely they'll be speaking to their agents, and I know they're coming towards the end of their contracts, and you get a little bit nervy perhaps, and you're thinking, you know, are there any rumours out there? Are there any clubs looking for me? And they'll be wanting a little bit of feedback and a bit of assurance as well, won't they, themselves?
Yeah, no, they will do. I think they will do as we get towards the latter end. I think we will go through a period of consultation with those guys and their representatives around where we're at and what it looks like moving forward. Ultimately, you know, they're in that professional environment whereby if they perform better for Sunderland, it's in everybody's best interests. So I think at the minute, it's just a business as usual whereby, you know, those guys are bright enough and experienced enough within the game to understand that it's all about performance. And if they're able to demonstrate a high level of performance consistently, then, you know, it won't just be Sunderland reviewing whether they want to take them or not or keep them. It will be other clubs that will be in there as well. And you know, in some cases, we might get priced out of the market. Backhanded compliment will be if we get priced out of the market on some of those players, it will be because they've performed really, really well for Sunderland. And therefore, we should hopefully be meeting our objective of getting out of this league. So from that perspective, I think that could end up being certainly a win for us. You know, I think it's going to be an interesting period for us. And like I said, we will run every scenario that's required to ensure we put ourselves in the best position for the summer.
Just moving things on a little bit, Christian, because we're a little bit pushed for time. I just want to touch upon something that Lee Johnson spoke of recently, and it's his desire to see the correct culture within the club. Do you know what he means by that? Are you behind that soundbite as well?
Yeah, I think it's around high performance. I think there's lots of small things that occur within an organisation every single day, which obviously are fundamental to the culture, what it's like to be and work in that, you know, in that place, and what we're striving for. So I think in trying to have an aspiration to having, you know, a high performance environment in all the different performance domains is something that we think is going to be fundamental to this club being successful. So I think you know, staff have got to get on board with that. Players have got to get on board with that. Is it a change? Potentially. I wasn't here before, so I can't say. There's certainly some things that I think we've tried to promote which are different to what's happened before. I think as long as we're able to give a really, really clear reason, rationale for what it is and why it is and where it fits in the big puzzle, then we're looking for the guys to jump on board with that.
My take on it, Christian, was as well, and I've been around changing rooms, and I just got the impression he was referring to that maybe he'd been in there a few weeks now. As the manager does, he has a little drift past the changing rooms now and then, and I got the sense that he thought that maybe one or two lads were perhaps in a little bit of a comfort zone and nice surroundings, nice environment, lovely training ground, and he was just wanting that little bit more from him and trying to get them all pushing in the right direction. And I guess it can be hard as well when you've got a big squad, and at the end of the day, the manager, he can only keep 11 lads happy at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, can't he, when he's picking the team, and it's trying to get the other lads, if they're not getting the game time, or, you know, they're perhaps not one of his so-called starting 11, that the levels drop a little bit, and he just wants everyone singing off the same hymn sheet.
Yeah, like ultimately you'd have to ask him. You'd have to get him in here, get him on back on the quiz, and see what he's got to say. I mean, we need to get the best, the most out of the squad, and Lee will have his views on, you know, how we can do that, and that's his job, is to be able to motivate and execute that with the senior squad. You know, I think in the head coach that we've got someone who's been incredibly successful at doing that in the past, completely aligned with all the different stuff that we've spoken about today around the ins and the outs and the young players coming into the squad. You know, you've got someone who's championing that. You know, I think, you know, it would be an Elliot Embleton, for example, would be an easy one for the head coach to say, I want to keep him around because it gives me more security in terms of numbers. Whereas it's actually the opposite. It's, we really, really like Elliot, but at the same time, we know deep down this is probably the best thing for Elliot. So therefore, you know, we let that happen and we make that move. And I think, you know, that type of stuff should be embraced, that we've got a head coach who, like you said, is aligned to it. Ultimately, the stuff around the playing squad, that's his domain. And ultimately, he has to make the right judgment calls around squad selection and ensuring that the culture within the changing room is obviously heading towards that high performance.
Last time you were on this podcast, Christian, we asked you if there was still time and would we still get promotion this season. Are you still saying that? And what will you be doing from here on till the end of the season to help with that?
Sunderland Football Club can't have any other ambition than getting in the top two. So I'm never going to sit in this season in any meeting and suggest for one second that we should be lowering our standard to anything less than that. You know, I see the team getting better from week to week. We need to get some greater consistency in results. That's fairly obvious. I think everyone would say that. But like I said, we've just managed to make some adjustments to the squad, and I think we're better for it. So from here on in, you know, it's over to the guys to obviously try to do that on the pitch. I don't see why we should ever drop our standards and our ambitions away from that, if I'm honest. In terms of what I'm doing from here on in, yesterday I had a day building Playmobil for the kids because it was my kid's birthday yesterday, so I'm a Playmobil expert. But seriously, moving forward, a lot of my work now is around some of the more medium term strategic things around organisational structure, who's doing what and where, looking at the data analytics, and the recruitment is probably the number one thing, and then the academy programme. So there's a few departments to focus in on, and there's a few processes to focus in on in the short term. Obviously, some of those things are linked back to what we spoke about earlier, which is, you know, we're just in the process of trying to identify a head of player recruitment, trying to build out our performance analysis and data analytics team. That's obviously going to underpin and support some of those decision-making functions for the summer in the next window. So they've got to be done and prioritised, and then hopefully we can start to move forward. But there's certainly, in terms of some more, probably more strategic things that need to be done rather than the last sort of 8 weeks on the sort of day-to-day front.
So that was Sporting Director at Sunderland Football Club, Christian Speakman, again, talking at length about where we're at, Danny.
Yeah, it was. Again, I thought he spoke well. He goes into some depth in terms of where the transfers were coming in from, the outgoings, where they're looking to progress I mentioned there, didn't I, that I think over the last few years, perhaps we've had a few, I called them panic transfers or panic signings in terms of getting bodies into the building and hoping they can fit into the system or the way we want to play in the structure. But I think now they've got a vision of where they want to go in terms of the people who they're looking to bring in, the players, the calibre of players, and if they can add something to the squad as well. Again, he mentioned outgoings on loans, Elliot Embleton going away, the possibility of Dan Neil going, but they're happy that he's here, maybe getting some more opportunities moving forward throughout the season. So I thought it was good. And again, it gives the supporters an insight of to where we're at in terms of transfers, and obviously with the wage cap playing a big part in that as well.
Danny, just a quick reflection on our current form. Of course, we progressed in the Papa John's to the semi-finals this week, but we're going to face MK Dons in the league. How do you think we're getting on in the league at the moment? We're inside those playoff places at the moment.
Yeah, we're not doing too bad, are we? Again, are we where we want to be? Perhaps just short of that at the minute, but again, we're just over halfway through the season, still 66 points to play for. We're back up into the playoff spots for the first time in a while. Still got all the teams above us to play again. So there's a lot of football to be played. And I think just when we've mentioned about the squad there, the depth we've got in our squad, which could come into play as the season progresses now with these remaining 20 plus fixtures. I think we've got good cover throughout the squad, good options throughout the squad on paper, as we keep saying on paper. But let's hope that comes to the forefront, and these lads can kick on now, and just a bit of consistency into the squad and into the performances. We have these little step backs. Plymouth a couple of weeks ago, we've had MK Dons, Wigan, you know, and it's disappointing when we think we're just trying to look to get on one of these runs that can kick us up into those automatic places, should I say.
Yeah, you have said. We will get there. I'm sure we will. Let's hope so anyway. Join us next time on SOC Unfiltered, brought to you by Alpha Security, where we'll have another member of the staff. Maybe we'll get a player next time, Danny. Hopefully we'll sort one of them out for us. Okay then, until next time, from us here at Unfiltered, we'll see you soon.